This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 6, 2022. The First Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Devil departed from him until an opportune time. Words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You will notice the last verse of that gospel that after the temptations of our Lord Jesus Christ, the devil just does not depart. He departs from him until an opportune time. If the devil is so bold as to return at an opportune time to tempt our Lord Jesus Christ again, do you think for one moment that he will hesitate to come again and again to tempt you? We have to understand this as an element of our faith. We have an enemy. He is relentless. He hates you, and he wants to drag you down with him. And he will do anything that he can, and he will look for an opportune time in which to do this. As we endeavor through Lent, it is a time in which we defend ourselves. We strengthen ourselves for this constant defense because, as I said, Satan will come back time and time again. Lent is a time, in the Roman Catechism, at every Sunday, there is a suggestion for instruction. First Sunday of Lent, the instruction in the moral subject that can be taught is the law of fasting and abstinence. Fasting and abstinence. The law of, the way some people put it, giving up stuff for Lent. If you'll notice, it doesn't say one thing about giving anything up. It says specifically about fasting. Fasting is a technical thing. It's not giving up chocolate. If you want to do that in addition to fasting, it's a work of supererogation. God may bless you for that. But the rule is fasting. Fasting is eating one meal a day, regular meal, and you can eat two other times, but both of them together cannot equal the one meal. That's fasting. That's fasting, and the old rules are we do that every single day throughout Lent. That's pretty heavy stuff. If anybody asks you, who is not a Catholic and they don't understand Lenten practices, why do you do that? And I think some of us might tap dance around that one. Well, it honors God at worship. You know, it's an act of worship. Yeah, it is, but that's not really the why. Why do we fast during Lent for as long as historically the church? Why do we do that? It's because fasting makes our prayers better, to put it in a nutshell. Fasting, almsgiving, those two things that most people, Lent, giving up something. No, it should be Lent, fasting, and almsgiving. So it's not just a matter of giving something up, it's equally a matter of giving. Both of those things, when they're joined with prayer, they make prayer better. This is not a subjective opinion. It's objective. Fasting and almsgiving, when they are joined with prayer, they make them better. They make them more powerful. They make them more effective, objectively. Remember when the man brings our Lord, brings the disciples, his son, who's demon-possessed? He brings his son to the disciples. He's got a demon. Cast him out of him. The disciples try. They do everything that they possibly can. They're praying their socks off over this kid, and nothing works. Man brings him to Jesus. I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything. Jesus, after he gives them the holy eye roll for their lack of faith, he casts the devil out. And the disciples, they're kind of dumbfounded. Why couldn't we? We did all the stuff. We said all the prayers. Jesus responds, that kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. There are some things when prayer just isn't enough. There's a lot of times like prayer is not enough. Pray about it. Yes, do it foundationally. But do it with fasting. Do it with almsgiving. Join to it. Because when you do that, you do, to use a colloquialism, we put skin in the game on that. We're just not asking for something. We're showing our Lord how much we want something. I want that so much, I will put myself out. If you just pray, you're just asking for things. That's not our life of faith. Even in prayer in of itself, asking for things is like 25% of prayer, or should be, at the most. Okay, because part of prayer ought to be adoration. It's not, Lord, I'm approaching you because I love you to the best of my capacity, and I know you are the one who can do this. Adoration, confession. Lord, I know I'm not worthy for you to even lend an ear to me, much less answer my prayers. We go to him and we let him know that we realize that, and then we give him thanks for, and I give you thanks that you will even lend me an ear. And maybe you answer, maybe you don't. He will always answer. And if you're praying correctly, it's in accord with his will, not yours. But all those are adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. Those are part of, they must be a part of our prayers, or your prayer is deficient. But if all of those things are there and you ask for things, you put skin in the game by adding to it. You make your prayers more efficacious. This is why I'm always harping on the old rules versus the new rules of Lent. Objectively speaking, the prayers of people who fast every day throughout Lent, except for Sundays and the occasional solemnity that will pop up, if you do that, your prayers are, I can't think of enough adjectives, tremendously more effective than the person who fasts on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Tremendously more effective. Objectively. Why? Because Jesus tells us that. He teaches us that. So we look at Lent, it's not about giving something up. Not just about giving something up and giving. Doing those in conjunction, join with prayer. Because that's what Lent's about. Lent is about prayer. That's why we do it. Because it's liturgical house cleaning time. We approach God and we ask him to fix things that we've found deficient up to the point of Lent. We ask him to find and fix deficiencies that occur during Lent. We hate it when we're presented with our weakness in something. We cannot stand that. And we like to be told how great we do at something. Somebody criticizes something. Lent is a time when we criticize ourselves. This is where we fall so far short of what it's supposed to be when we give up Cokes. That's not a thing. If that's anything, it's added to what you're supposed to do. Fasting, praying, almsgiving. Because when we do these things in conjunction with our prayer, we objectively fix things. There are things that truly happen that would not happen if we didn't do these things. Lent is a time when we are introspective. Lent is a time when we evaluate ourselves and the sins that have cropped up, whether they be small or large throughout the past year, things that bother us all the time, temptations that we always, with which we always struggle. All these things are fixed if we pray correctly. What are the consequences of sin? And most people just leave it with, I violated God's rules. I lived outside of his will. Maybe some people take it to the next level. I've offended God. And they kind of just leave it at that. Yeah, that's the first thing. We offend God. We don't live according to his will. How do we fix that? Truly fix it. You appease God by prayer. That whole adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and maybe asking for some things. But adoration, confession, and thanksgiving, those are what appease God. You're letting him know how far short you've fallen. You're not perfect. Don't think that you are. And you present it to him like that. That appeases him. So prayer appeases him. If we can make that prayer amplified by almsgiving, for instance. Almsgiving. Another consequence of sin is every time we sin, a lot of people don't even realize this one, every time we sin, we offend our neighbor. Every single time. It happens a lot. They might not even know it. They usually don't know it. You know, I sit in there a lot. I hear about detraction and gossip and things like that, everything. That offends people. Whether they know it or not, there is an offense there. You got to fix it. How do you fix it? You do something. Not just say I'm sorry. You do something to prove you're sorry. Almsdeeds do that. Scripture tells almsdeeds, they wipe out all kind of sins. They wipe out big sins. Just almsdeeds in and of themselves. When they're joined to prayer decently, it makes your prayers amplified and it redeems our wrong of our neighbor. Well, I committed this sin, but it was in the confines of my own home and it didn't affect anybody but me and what I did. You offend the body of Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ, as we all are. So when you offend God as a part of the body of Christ, you offend all the members. That's why when we confess, it's not just between us and God. That's why we go into a priest who represents the church, because you've offended the body of Christ by your sin. Particularly, it was grave matter. You've offended the body of Christ. So every time we sin, we offend others in some way. And we have to prove that we want to redeem that. And almsgiving is a tremendous way to do that. When we sin, we injure our own souls. How do we heal our souls after we injure them? We do it by fasting. Again, because it makes it real. It makes us, it proves to God that we know there was an actual injury to my soul by my sin. I need to actually fix that now by some action, not just talking about it. I have to do something. Fasting. This is why these things work together to put us in a position as our Lord Jesus Christ found himself, the sinless one. Notice he just doesn't rely on his being sinless and the Son of God. What does he do before the temptations start? He fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. Jose, I would highly suggest not trying to do that because you'll die. But you can't do that. He could, because he's got... This is why his temptations are worse than ours. Okay, things are a temptation for him that are not a temptation for you. If you get real hungry and I would look at you and go, hey, turn this stone into bread, it wouldn't really do anything to you because you know you can't. Jesus could. Okay, he's walking through the desert and his stomach starts to grumble. Manna from heaven. Boom, there it is. Angel's food. He could do that. He could do that just because he wanted to, much less be intent, but he didn't. He didn't for our sakes, because he had to win over Satan. He had to win over Satan in his humanity. So he fasts for 40 days. He prepares himself for the trials that are going to be presented to him. And he has a subsequent victory over Satan and his temptations. Satan's hitting him with the best he can, and Jesus just deflects them. Why? He's able to do it because of his prayers and his fasting intensely. The sin of Adam is what corrupts us, that original sin thing. Adam fell and was defeated by Satan because he gave into his temptation, because he was self-indulgent. Our Lord Jesus Christ did just the opposite. He withstood Satan's temptation and he exhibited and exercised the virtue of temperance, his fasting, and he was able to overcome. If Adam had done what he was supposed to do, he would have been able to overcome. So our Lord Jesus Christ turns the coin over. Adam is defeated because of his self-indulgence. Jesus is victorious over Satan because of his temperance. We learn temperance by fasting. You cannot learn it any other way. You have to engage in stuff like that or it's not real. You can sit back all you want. You can play with you can play with the thought, for instance, that, I don't have to do that stuff because if a big temptation comes up to me, I'll be able to do it. I'll be able to withstand it. No, you can't. It makes me chuckle or it kind of makes me nauseous when people, well, that was just a little thing, but if something really big came up, I would be able to do it. That's so ridiculous. It's illogical. I can't face up to this little temptation, but I can face up to a big one. It doesn't make any sense. People say that kind of trash all the time. That's a person that doesn't know their faith. That's a person that doesn't know about true engagement with their faith. There are benefits to fasting. It teaches us self-control. Because we live in North America, and most of us don't have that, particularly when it comes to things like eating. Fasting, you know, when people hear that technical term, one meal a day and two that don't equal another, I don't think so. I have this physical problem. I get headaches. That's penance. Okay, so what? You get headaches because you're just used to having your belly full all the time, generally speaking. I'm not saying that everybody does it. There are people out there that do have conditions that we preclude this. It's not many. And you would think it would be most people, but it's not many. We learn self-control from fasting. We suppress our sensual appetites. I want this. This feels good. I want to do this. And you don't. He shows you have self-control. It's the virtue of temperance manifest. And if you've never manifested, you don't have it. All there is to it. We got to practice it. Not to mention what I said before, fasting amplifies our prayer. We must do this stuff. Our Lord doesn't say, if you want to be uber Catholic, if you fast. No. He says, when you fast. It's a given. It's a presumption. When you fast, do it this way. He even gives us instructions on how to do it. St. Paul, the Holy Spirit speaking through him in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Anyone who strives for mastery over themselves limits himself in all things. This isn't about stopping stuff that's licit. You got to eat to be healthy. Here's the whole fasting thing. Hey, adjust what you eat. Not just the amount, but how you eat it. That adds two things. You like spicy stuff? Don't spice it up so much. Like slopping butter all over your bread throughout Lent? Don't put any butter on your bread. I try that every now and then. I just don't eat bread then. Okay? So it works out. Okay. The first reading today, Deuteronomy, almsgiving. Everything that happens in fasting, I just said, I'm not going to beat the dead horse. Everything I talk about fasting applies to almsgiving also. It's just with almsgiving, you have this aspect of that's the giving back part of Lent. The fasting, giving up, almsgiving, giving. Those two sides of the coin. When the people of Israel, in the first reading today, when they bring an offering to God, they do it with humility. By humility, I mean they understand that everything they have is his anyway. So they don't have a problem with bringing him in honor for what he's done in their lives, for what he, bringing them out of Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. They don't have a problem with it. Is it a sacrifice? Yes. The sacrifices, if we're doing things wrongly, we look at them as just a loss for ourselves. We should be looking at stuff like that as a gain for us. If you fast, you gain by your prayers being accepted better. When you give alms, your prayers are considered better because you've done something for real. It expresses gratitude to God. This is what we're about. This is what we're about. Everybody likes Jesus to be their example, you know, the what would Jesus do bracelets and all that kind of stuff. Everybody likes that kind of stuff until you really have to be or you really have to follow the example. Like with fasting and praying and, you know, putting yourself out and loving things sacrificially. Our Lord gives us an example as to how he's wandering in the desert, so are we. We're wandering this desert that is this world. And guess what? Just like when he was wandering the desert, Satan is up in your face all the time because he knows what you struggle with and he's throwing that up in your face. Has God really said, if you're the Son of God, do this? If. That's the same thing we get. But the way our minds work is it manifests itself when we justify or make excuses for things. Well, if I did that, you know, it's not that big a deal because, you know, I've been really tired here lately. And if I did, or again, the excuses, excusing things. Well, I'm not strong. I can't do this. I won't do this. That's the reality. Satan's always tempting us. And even if you do it well, you do your Lent best, Satan is going to do this, just like he did with our Lord. He's going to leave until an opportune time. He's going to watch for your weakness. He's going to watch when you're not paying attention to these things, and you're going to take advantage of it. and we have to know our weakness. Our Lord Jesus Christ is an example of the strength that can be gained from fasting, prayer, and giving. No one has ever given as much as he has. If we follow his example, we will get the same thing he got. We were rewarded as co-heirs of Christ for all eternity. In the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.